I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Saturday, February 20th, and today we're talking about the impact of virtual schooling on children. We discuss why and how much some students are falling behind, what schools have to consider other than safety when returning to in-person learning, and some practical solutions, including what parents can do right now. Joining me is Mark Hecker. He's the founder and executive director of Reach Incorporated. It's a nonprofit in Washington, D.C., hiring teens to be elementary school reading tutors and creating an academic benefit for everyone involved. Mark and his organization have gotten a firsthand look at the impact of this pandemic on students of all ages. And today he's sharing his insights. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's special edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Mark. Thanks for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thanks so much for having me.
So reports have shown the numbers are dropping when it comes to attendance, class participation, and even grades during this pandemic. Can you help people understand what's going on?
I think that students are exhausted, frankly. We've all tried to adjust our teaching methods and engagement methods with students during the pandemic. But as many of us working know, sitting in front of a screen for 6 to 8 hours a day, no matter how interesting the content is on the other side, it is not a great way to engage young minds.
Right. Sadly, the numbers are even worse for students of color or students from low-income homes. Can you explain specifically what's behind that?
Well, I think there are a number of things. Those students tend to have the least experienced teachers. So those teachers are probably struggling in this virtual environment. Many of them have had issues with access to reliable internet. I know with the young people we work with, so many of the high school students specifically in our program are responsible for childcare and education of younger siblings in the home because their parents are essential workers or working hourly jobs. So there's so many things that young people are dealing with right now, and survival and family things tend to come before school.
So what are your thoughts on the risks and benefits of virtual classrooms versus in-person learning during a COVID-19 pandemic?
It's a really challenging question because there's no doubt in my mind that there are costs to children being at home. Mental health is a serious concern that we're seeing right now. But because we've underinvested in our education system, especially in our public school system for so long, I don't think we have the safety controls in place for most children to return safely to school right now. I have the unique position that I run an organization that serves young people in Washington, D.C., and I also serve on the board of an independent school in Philadelphia. And that independent school in Philadelphia has been able to remain mostly open, but has done so by spending probably over $1 million to make the school safer. And that's just not something, I have not heard any likelihood that that type of investment is coming for each of our schools so that we can assure that our staff and our children are safe.
Yeah, that's a great point. The CDC has put out a couple of reports saying that in-person learning at schools does not lead to widespread outbreaks, but that's assuming they have certain safety precautions and measures in place, right?
Correct. And the example that keeps coming up most often right now is in so many of our public schools, many of the schools we work in sometimes don't have hot water or soap in the bathroom. So why would a parent trust that they would actually have all of these safeguards in place to keep both the students and their teachers safe?
So have you been looking at any statistics or research about the impact of this?
There's a lot of alarming research going on. We obviously at Reach are focused on the young people that we serve. But there was a study done by Empower K-12 in DC that did see that there has been some learning slide already and that it's significantly more pronounced for students in the lowest income areas of the city. And it is important to note that some of the reports about learning loss feel a little alarmist because they're based on the idea that standardized tests are the best way to gauge learning for students. And students are certainly having different experiences and learning different skills at home, but they are losing out on content that we have deemed important in our schools. We are seeing young people that are learning a lot of new skills and developing stronger relationships with siblings. And there are some positives coming out of this, but in terms of the current system and the way that we test our students, I think next year is going to look pretty rough.
Is there a certain age group or grade range that you think is most impacted?
I think in terms of academics, it's probably our earliest students, so pre-K to second grade, because it's so difficult for them to do what they need to do in a virtual environment. When you imagine a really high quality early childhood classroom, you imagine the kids doing sing-alongs and moving around, and there's things on the board and they're manipulatives, and all of that is made much more challenging in an environment of virtual learning. But I think in the mental health space, it's actually our teenagers, because adolescence is a time when socialization and peer groups are such a strong driver. I think that is leading to significant levels of anxiety and depression for our students because they don't have access to their peer groups.
And for both, this isn't really just a now issue, right? There could be long-term impacts to these generations. What do you expect those to be?
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think that there's nothing that will happen during this pandemic educationally that we would not be able to recover from if we gave education the investment it deserves. But there will be delays in terms of content learned, and that will have to change the way we think about what content is taught at what grade level, because there will be gaps that persist. At Reach, we focus on teaching adolescents by hiring them as tutors, and we do that because so many of our teens come to high school with fundamental literacy gaps, just not understanding the tools of basic literacy. But that can be taught at the high school level. It's just typically it's not. And we'll have to find creative ways to fill some of these foundational building block gaps that some of these teens are going to have. Obviously, on the mental health side, there will be a sort of re-socialization process that needs to happen when kids return to school. They have to get back used to new routines and how you interact with a bunch of other people. I'm sure we're all going to feel a little bit of anxiety the first time we're in a room with 30 people in close quarters. But I think what this tells us more than anything is that the real differences in outcomes we're seeing during this pandemic are simply an amplification of what we've created through the system that we've built, of system of education we've built in our country. And hopefully there are lessons that come from this that we decide to invest differently to really promote positive outcomes for all students.
Still ahead, we discuss some possible solutions to deal with this situation. But first, let's take a break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Blueblocks. Blueblocks provides science-backed, fashionable blue light glasses. It'll help you beat digital eye strain, headaches, and improve sleep with style and comfort. In fact, Blueblocks was first created because they were unhappy with the quality and lack of science behind leading blue light blocking glasses brands. I've already been a big fan of my clear prescription glasses having blue light filtering for everyday computer use. But get this, the Blueblocks collection extends way beyond that. For example, I've been trying their Sleep Plus option, the only true 100% blue and green light blocking lens for after sunset use. I use them when I need to work on my computer or be on my smartphone immediately before bed, which happens a lot. I also love that this is a company that gives back. For every pair of Blueblocks glasses sold, the company donates a pair of reading glasses to someone in need. So read more about the options and styles and get 20% off your order at blueblocks.com/newsworthy. That's blue, B-L-U, blocks, B-L-O-X, blueblocks.com/newsworthy to learn more and get 20% off your order. This episode is also brought to you by FitBod. I don't know about you, but if I go more than a couple of days without getting some type of workout in, it affects me both mentally and physically. I really need to move my body to feel good. And Fitbod is able to help build the momentum needed for a strong start to the year with 25% off a Fitbod membership now through February 28th. I love how Fitbod makes it easy to work out anywhere. I can pick workouts specifically tailored to the equipment or lack of equipment and the goals I have at the time. So I'm working out at home a lot these days, and that's not a problem with Fitbod. It has body weight routines, or I can just let it know I have a few weights and a band. Whether it's no equipment or an entire gym, Fitbod will help build a workout program for you, and then even use Fitbod's algorithm and analytics to make sure your next workout is better than the last one. Build the momentum to carry your fitness journey through the rest of the year with Fitbod. Get 25% off a membership when you sign up now through February 28th at fitbod.me/newsworthy. That's 25% off your membership at fitbod.me/newsworthy. Okay, now back to my conversation with Mark Hecker about the impact of virtual schooling on students. So what do you think are the solutions, both on a broader level, and what can people be doing?
I think what's really important right now, as kids are home and struggling, is we want to engage teens, or engage all students, this especially works with teens, in learning what they want to learn about. This is not a moment when content should be driving our decisions. It doesn't matter if your student reads the book that their teacher wants them to read. It matters whether your student is reading. I think that we can learn research skills while studying the latest video game or the latest musician that you're learning about. Find ways to apply academic skills to content that the students are really excited about, because it's when students are interested in learning something that they're actually going to develop the skills that will be applicable in their academic journeys later.
Yeah, that's a great practical tip that people can apply right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually seeing it that, you know, in DC, students of more privileged backgrounds aren't actually seeing a slide in reading at the moment. It's students that come from families in our lower income areas, families where reading might not be a regular family practice. So what we really need to focus on is just getting kids reading. It doesn't matter what, they will be in a better position when they go back to school.
Are there ways for more privileged families to help in that process for lower income households? What do you suggest?
I don't know if there are ways that those families in particular can help by inserting themselves in other communities, but I think what they can do is support organizations that are doing literacy work now, and especially organizations that work to diversify the books available to young children, because I think there's such a challenge in the literacy space of having books that effectively represent all communities in our country. So if you support the organizations that are working to diversify children's literature and to get those books into the hands of young people, that's really important work right now.
Anything else you want to add, or just a final takeaway?
I think that what I hope comes from this is that we learn important lessons about the investments our schools need. As long as we try to make incremental fixes without providing appropriate funding, our school system will always be sort of teetering at the brink. And when something like this comes along, it just shows us exactly the lack of investment that we've made. And my hope is that the goal is not to be a return to where we were before the pandemic, because that was unacceptable. And this is just even worse. So I think the goal here is, if you see kids that are struggling during this pandemic, and we can study the data and see who those kids are, for the most part, those are the same kids that have not been treated well before the pandemic. And we need to prevent that from becoming normal again after the pandemic.
Thanks so much for listening today. And don't forget to tune into our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes, Monday through Friday. We'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.